Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, one of our favorite times of the week. Time to bring in Josh Pate, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue and Bobcat of Houston every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And what a Sunday morning it was. Josh, give us your thoughts on the SMU and Alabama controversy that arose on Saturday morning. Sunday morning.
I looked at it and said, I'm not sure there's going to be a whole lot of controversy here. I know there will be a lot of hand-wringing, but that is not always consistent with actual controversy. I felt like, as I told you guys last week, the moment that committee put SMU ahead of Alabama in the penultimate rankings, all SMU had to do was win and or just be competitive in the final game, and they'd stay ahead of them. And that's what happened, and they stayed ahead of them. And you can go all the way down the rabbit hole of strength of schedule, you can do this, you can do that. It was all irrelevant based on the second-to-last rankings. If SMU was one spot behind Alabama the Tuesday before, then we'd have a big argument on our hands. So then you can kind of detach yourself from that, and you could say, okay, I'll grant you that, but I don't even think the whole process works the way it should. Well, then I'll listen to you, because that is an argument separate from what the actual matter at hand was. If you want to argue, as many people have, that the committee doesn't define strength of schedule properly, I would actually agree with them, and I would listen to them. But as far as what already was, I didn't think that there was going to be much conversation. It turns out there wasn't. Now, I think moving forward, you'll have a whole lot of people that will draw conclusions about whether the committee was right or wrong based on the outcome of the bracket. That's not how I think. You get in that thing or get left out of that thing based on your body of work. I don't care if Boise and Arizona State lose by 60 or if they win outright and pull upsets. It doesn't make the decision any more right or wrong than it was the day it was made, because the committee's not working with the benefit of knowing the future. You have to judge in the here and now, and then you just come what may in the playoffs.
Nick Saban said he didn't think SMU should have ever been rated ahead of Alabama. Do you agree with that?
The former Alabama coach said that?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the fence on that. I'll put it this way. If you have that take, that's the right take to have. Like, if you think Alabama or Ole Miss or South Carolina or Miami got screwed out of a spot, that's the only take you can have, is SMU should have been behind them all along. I'm willing to listen to that. The way I would have had SMU behind one of those, if I did, would be the same way I'd have an Indiana behind them if I did. I think a lot of people have honed in on SMU here and just kind of given Indiana a pass. Indiana's strength of schedule was horrific too, and the only thing that boosted their strength of schedule was playing Ohio State, and that's a game they got mopped in. So I told you guys this for a while. I do not like the way strength of schedule is defined in college football. I like that it's paid attention to a little bit, but it's not defined properly. It goes off the cumulative record of your opponent. I don't care about record as it relates to defining strength of your schedule. This is where, and I will argue this until the end of time, this is where Vegas should have a role in this thing. They should never be ranking the teams. Your record against the spread shouldn't matter. None of that. All that's garbage. That does not belong in a rankings process. But Vegas is the most perfectly qualified candidate imaginable to accurately grade how strong your schedule was. Because, for example, if you're Ole Miss and you go play, like a 5-6 Florida team or 5-5 Florida team, but that Florida team has got Lagway back and they're playing hot football and it's 90,000 people in the swamp, the AP rankings are going to say you're playing like the number 50 team in the country. It's 500 team. It should be a layup. Vegas would say, we'd power rate that team about number 21 in the country. So you're going to get that kind of credit for playing that caliber opponent that day. That's where the strength of schedule argument should come in, and that's how it should be defined. So if Nick Saban or anyone else wants to argue that, I'd listen to that.
But this is something, too, and I feel like a lot of the stuff you do has to do with handicapping, because you come up with your own power ratings. And I have in the past, I had my own handicapping business for years, actually. Well, until I sold it. But one of the things you look at is you look at performance against expected. And Alabama was a 22.5 point favorite against Vanderbilt. They lost by, what, 5? So they lost by 5 in that one. So that would be a minus 27.5 in terms of performance. Against Oklahoma, LSU, or Alabama against Oklahoma was a 14.5 point favorite. They lost by 21. Do the math on that one as well. Like, if we want to look at power ratings in Vegas, there's huge adjustments that have to be made. Here's the difference. Vegas is wildly conservative. They do not make massive wholesale adjustments to their numbers based on bad losses. They don't. It takes a lot of time to get to the proper number. And the reason I bring this up is because I think the argument would be, and I know we would all kind of, but we have to subconsciously believe that Alabama would beat SMU in a game. But the fact is, if it's on a neutral field, Alabama's 3 losses came on the road. Alabama was huge favorites and got, as you said, mopped by Oklahoma. They got beaten by a Vanderbilt team where they were 22.5 point favorites better than. By the end of the year, probably been closer to 9 point favorites. I don't think just because Alabama would be a favorite against SMU, I'm not here to tell you that means that they're going to win that game because they power rate higher.
No, nor should it. I think that has no business in the equation. I'm going to say it again. I do not care about my own numbers. I don't care where I rate Alabama and if I have them above SMU. That is not how a playoff field should be seeded. I'm telling you that about my own numbers, much less anyone else's numbers. Yeah. What I'm saying, and this is all I'll ever say about this, is when we define strength of schedule, that is where I think an odds maker's approach should be baked into defining how tough a schedule actually was. But I will go back to one thing you said there, because a bunch of my friends have brought that up. They said, Josh, if you want to use the power rating thing or you want to use Vegas, shouldn't you grade teams based on expectation or relative to their expectation? I don't think that has any place in the rankings process either, because you're right. Alabama performed exceptionally below expectation in their losses this year. They're favored against Oklahoma by double digits. They lose by double digits. Same against Vanderbilt. Well, here's the problem with that. You're holding an Alabama team to a different standard based on the power rating than you would another team. Or, to put it in real-world terms, if people think Lance is a genius and they think I'm a C-plus student and we each go take a test and we both make a B, I make a B, Lance makes a B-plus on it, you look at me and say, great job, Josh. You look at Lance and say, you kind of suck today. Well, he still made a better grade than me. I'm just being rewarded because people think I'm stupid, and he's being punished because people think he's a genius. But in the aggregate, if we're just being graded against each other heads up, Lance has still got a B-plus, and I've got a B. So that's how the rankings should happen.
Right.
To me.
But I would also argue that there is an inherent advantage to an Alabama who the perception is a massive advantage as it relates to starting point. The starting point is what helps you a great deal. And your starting point is, let's face it, it has to do with historical perception. And there's no way around it. We have biases based on our historical perception of the guys in those crimson jerseys.
Yeah, you lost me, Josh, when you had Lance being a genius.
No, I thought you – no, to me, you can expound
analogy,
on that.
Hey, but you know – analogy we've ever heard.
It's funny because
show.
We had the same argument in the Joe Moore Award, the finalist, Josh, where we basically – one of the guys made an argument. This guy's a former NFL line coach. He said, look, Alabama and Texas, he said, I'm not giving them any – he goes, they don't get credit because they – he goes, their tape's not that great. He said, this is guy making this argument. He said, they get 4- and 5-star talent, and when they play similar teams this year, they're not playing – they're not playing this great brand of football against similar teams. When Army plays similar teams, they beat the brakes off of them. And so his whole argument, and we were faced with that same conundrum, like, okay, clearly there's better talent on these other teams. Where does Army fit in? They wouldn't be able to hold up against a Georgia. But do we punish? Like, do you have no chance of being a finalist for a Joe Moore Award unless you have the very best players? Like, you know, that's one of the tricky things when it comes to arguing college athletics, because it's not like the pros where it's apples to apples. These are wildly apples and oranges arguments when it comes to strength of schedule, physical limitations. Some guys are, you know, some teams are filled with pro guys and other teams are not filled with pro guys.
I would also just suggest that the point you're making is very obvious. I think everyone knows it, even though a lot of people try and fight it. But the argument you're making is right in front of everyone's faces. There are conferences like the SEC and the top half of the Big Ten where there is a larger collection of future Sunday players. The rosters are deeper. The venues are bigger and tougher to go into and all that. Okay. Then we've got a group of people that want to ignore all that or pretend like it doesn't exist, and pretend like all these conferences are equal and you are what your record says you are, which is insane. I have always just outright asked, why are we pretending like 134 teams are playing the same caliber of football? Like, why have we not long ago understood that we probably should just have a G5 playoff instead of trying to find a way to shoehorn the G5 into the main playoff? And you're telling these teams, by the way, that should be the North Star. But inclusion in the big playoff, even though you're about to get your doors beat off, that should be your North Star. Not playing for a tournament where everyone that's comparable to you will have a shot at it, that you could actually win a championship in, which to me is just losing your way entirely. But when I make that argument, the G5 people are so brainwashed into believing the concept that the big tournament's the end-all be-all that they fight me on it. So I just white flag it.
But I asked David Bailiff when he was at Rice about that. I said, "What about, you know, you got no chance to win a national champ." He said, "I don't care." He said, "If you move us into a different division, we are a different division. Then we're 1AA. We're not in 1A anymore, and we want to be with the big boys." So, and then pay is less for coaches and everything else. If you're not considered, then you're a triple A.
Aren't you there anyway, John? Like, aren't we really at that place anyway? Realistically,
I agree. I would love to see that they actually had a chance at a national championship, as opposed to at least they've got a seat at the table now, as opposed to before when they never had a seat at the table. So this is at least a step up for them.
Yeah, but the point you made there is the obvious one, and I'm not obtuse to this. The reason you cannot have the G5-only playoff is because it has to be subsidized. And right now, the desire to be at the big boy table amongst administrative types and coaches and whatnot is they understand that's an umbilical cord financially that they need. That right. is where I pose the following question. If you've got all these whispers about third-party money and about private equity, and it's looking to find a way into college athletics, everyone looks at the top of the tree. That part right there is where I think it could come in. If someone with a ton of zeros on the end of their net worth or group of people looked and said, wow, a G5-only playoff makes very, very logical sense, but they can't afford it, and they're terrified to break away from this subsidizing entity, well, maybe that's where we bankroll our way into college athletics. Maybe we prop up, maybe we subsidize the G5 level of this whole thing. And at that point, it can exist and make sense. Now, I'm not telling you I like that. I'm telling you it makes sense for that to be the entry point for that kind of privatized money.
Josh Pate, brought to you by Damaris and Bobcat right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Players that could possibly throw a monkey wrench into this playoff. I'm going to start. Curtis Rourke. You agree?
I certainly do, yes. Do you want my retort to that?
Yes.
Nico Amaliava is the other one that could throw a massive wrench into everything.
I mean, if he plays well?
You're, If he, well, yes, if he plays, like, if he plays ceiling football, as I call it, yeah. Rourke's the same way. I agree with you. If those two play ceiling football with Rourke, you would have that happening on an Indiana team that has underrated skill out wide. They have the number one rated rush defense in the country, which I don't think a lot of people realize. With Tennessee, if Nico were to do that, it's the same thing. They got some really, really underrated skill guys out wide. You got Dylan Sampson Jr. that can run the ball. You got a really good pass rush. So there's a complementary aspect to that, that if I sort of hit the green button on the quarterback piece, the rest of the stuff just works in perfect harmony. And those are two dangerous teams. I'd say Tennessee's dangerous just flat out because they have the talent roster to be that dangerous against anyone. With Indiana, they're in such a workable portion of the bracket, and Georgia may or absolutely will be without the quarterback, that anything could happen down there.
Yeah. I thought, and listen, Kevin Jennings falls into that category as well.
Yeah.
Not that he was bad. How about all the drops that they had? They weren't ready in the first half for that stage. Maybe they played much better in the second half. Maybe they're now ready for the stage that they're going to be on against Penn State.
Yeah, I always wonder about that. That point you're making there, you see a team one time in the biggest moment of their season, and you can tell that the moment may get to them a little bit, or the tick up in caliber of opponent may get to them a little bit. Well, a lot of times when we see that, you don't get to see another chance because the season's over. Well, you get to see another chance here with SMU. Now, granted, they're going to have to go on the road in 25-degree weather or whatever to do it, and they're going to have to play a really salty defense. But I don't think it would shock me if the principle that you're presenting there would very much be in play. And then you also wouldn't surprise me if they're playing a team that comes out very tight, because you're going to be dealing with a Penn State team that is told by a lot of folks, me included, that they have the most favorable draw out of any team in the playoff, and you're going to have 2 weeks or whatever of America just sort of reminding SMU, hey, you're one of the two teams that Penn State's going to beat on the way to the quarterfinals or semifinals or whatever. So that whole dynamic in that game, I mean, if you turn on that thing and SMU's up 10-0, it's game on. Anything could happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, Penn State doesn't win big. Well, this, I don't know that this falls into the same category of him not being able to win. Again, this certainly isn't a top five team, but James Franklin, they have their struggles against big games, against big teams.
Hey, there's no question. I think James Franklin's overrated. But anyway, do you every year, you're still a pretty young guy in this space, and you're an analytical person by nature, so you're open-minded, Josh. I always feel like every year gives you a chance to learn something as you're coming up, and when you're younger, you like learn things more quickly. What did you learn about from this season about in terms of maybe how you view college football, your observations on how good a team is, how maybe overranking teams? Like, did you learn anything? Is there something you're going to take with you from this season, our first with the college football playoffs, that you think is going to stick with you for a long time?
Big time. Big time. It actually does not have anything to do with the playoffs. It has everything to do with the redefining of roster construction. And programs like SMU, programs like FSU, programs like Oklahoma State, I've just had it so thoroughly proven to me, you have to recalibrate how you define a program. So it used to be, If I were to tell you, you got a B to B plus caliber program, that's how I would define Oklahoma State. You could say A, you could say B plus, whatever. They've been really solid under Mike Gundy. You have to bake in the concept that you could just have a dead season thrown into the mix now with the way that roster reconstruction happens and the way the portal impacts rosters, especially of the B and C tier programs. Oklahoma State does not recruit at a high level. So they cannot just backfill if they get bitten by the portal. It used to be, if you're a B plus or an A level coach, best case scenario is going to be 11-1 for you. Worst case scenario is going to be 7-5. That has largely been Mike Gundy at Oklahoma State. This year, bottom falls out. They go 3-9 or whatever they did. And everyone is, yelling for him to be fired, and it's right there on the fence. Is he going to be fired or not? And to me, you're just in the early portion of the new era where we will come to learn that that is the new normal. For those kinds of programs, you have to bake in the idea that you could just have a dead year. I mean, it's like walking out into the garage, trying to crank your car, realizing you left the lights on overnight, battery won't turn over, it's just dead. That doesn't mean the car is ruined. It just means you got to go get a jump and then go get a new battery, and it'll be okay again. I mean, that is literally how I think some of these programs are going to be. Florida State could be the same way. Florida State wins the ACC, goes undefeated the next year. It is the most horrific drop-off in history. Well, that's because you played portal roulette. That's why. And I don't advocate for that to be the way you build your roster long-term, but some folks are going to try that, and then they're going to flame out, and then they'll rise again, and then flame out and rise again. And you just have to accept, if you're an administrator or if you're a fan, whether you like it or not, there is so much more volatility and variance thrown into the equation that unless you are Texas or Oregon or Ohio State or Georgia or whatnot, you're going to be vulnerable to it. You cannot freak out because your coach goes sub 500 one year and think that we should forget the past 15-year sample size that he gave us. It could just be that this is the new normal.
So we saw it this year with Sonny and at TCU. They loaded up on the portal, got to the championship game. Well, they saw it the last couple of years, actually. I mean, you're not Ohio State, you're TCU, and when you load up in the portal, you might win, and then again, you might not. And you might be bad. You might have a bad year. Is that what happened to Oklahoma this year, you think?
Oh, man, Oklahoma, I think, is a little bit more deep-seated. Oklahoma worries me a little bit more because Oklahoma put together back-to-back-to-back top 10 classes. That's the crux of that roster. They did not portal in their quarterback. They had Jackson Arnold. He was a couple of years into the program, a couple of years into the system. He should have been ready to go. I think losing Jeff Levy was crippling to them. I don't think that Venables backfilled hiring very well at all. Or if he did, it was just an oil and water mix there. So, actually, no. I think Oklahoma may have deeper-seated issues than that. Oklahoma's not a team that tried to overwhelmingly portal their way to success. They tried to supplement through the portal and tried to rely on their high school recruiting, which is what you should do. But when you've done that on paper and it looks good and it doesn't work, that actually worries me a whole lot more than the Oklahoma State or FSU thing.
Really? Really? Well, they already got 12 guys that have gone into the portal, so they're going to have to portal up again. Well, next year they're definitely going to have to.
This is no different than the old school, John, where you rely on junior college guys and then you're in a constant state of panic.
Well, one guy at Kansas State was able to sustain that for years and years and years.
Yeah, so, and he was one of the only ones. It's not it's a hard thing to do.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Well, we got another. Next week we'll be talking to you before the games, before the 20th and the 21st. So we're looking forward to that, Josh. Next week, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue, and we will talk about each and every one of those games next week with Josh Pate right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Bob Kettig Houston and Damaris Barbecue. Thank you for bringing us, Josh. Josh, thanks, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Josh.
All right, there is Josh Pate every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right, right now you got to talk a little John Daspit.
Yeah, I get to talk about John Daspit. I'm excited about talking about John Daspit because the Daspit Law Firm has taken care of so many people, including there was a group of people that you may or may not know that John recently defended when the security failed them and their apartments were all, you know, broken into and everything during our hurricane, and it was a whole mess. And John, they asked John to step in, and John said, "You know what? I can absolutely step in." And he worked for them in just the same way he's going to work for all of his clients. All of his lawyers are the same. He demands a lot. They have to work on the at night. You know, they're not. Sometimes they're available on weekends to work. Like it's not a hard job. It's a rewarding job with John, but it's not an easy job because he demands that you look at this the same way he does, which is everyone deserves to be taken care of and have John passionately pursue justice for them. And so he's not going to take shortcuts. He's going to make sure that your process is the same as everyone else's, and that you get the settlement that you deserve for being injured due to someone else's negligence. He's a phone call away. It's a free consultation. Just call 713. And before, if something happens to you out on the roadway or with an accident, before you do anything talking to the other people's insurance company, make sure you speak with John Daspit. At least consult with them. 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW or go to DaspitLaw.com.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Did you guys see Mark Gastineau attack Brett Favre? It actually happened last year, but there's a 30 for 30 coming out, and they're promoting it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's pissed about Favre taking a dive at the end of that game for sacks. The sack record?
Yeah.
I mean, Gastineau has made an entire life of crying about this sack.
I know.
I mean, literally, you hurt me, Favre. You hurt me, Brett. You hurt me.
You hurt my TT and my pee-pee.
My Brett Favre's just sitting there going, oh, my God, dude. I'm sorry about
that. Well, I mean, it was a big deal for him. That's a big –
took
his record.
Well, and when you hear Joe Klecko and Marty Lyons talking about him, it was a really, really big deal because they said he was about the most selfish player ever.
Yeah.
That's all he cared about. Didn't care about tackling a running back. That's all he wanted was sacks because it put his name in the record books.
Yep.
Because it gave him – because of money and everything else. And, you know, so there's a 30 for 30. But you're listening – I was watching the trailer for it, and I was like, oh. Mark is, I don't know if he's drunk, or I guess he just sounds drunk now all the time. I hope he's not drunk while he's doing it. I don't know.
I don't think he's drunk.
He sounds like he's drunk.
You think he's drunk?
Well, no. You know, he's one of those guys that just sound drunk all the time.
Yeah.
You know, Bernie Kosar has that. Have you ever heard Bernie Kosar talk?
Right on, baby. Let's go!
Yeah, I've heard Bernie talk.
Bernie sounds like he is drunk
all
the time.
That's not Sark, Dell. Cut that out.
It's not Sark. Sark had a problem.
That is Sark.
Right on, baby. Let's go.
Cut the crap, Dell. He's cleaned it up.
That was him.
Cut the crap. He's cleaned it up.
I mean, the man had a problem, and you keep bringing it back up. He solved his problem. He's got his life straightened out, and here you are.
And here you are.
And it's the same with Jeff Bagwell.
Texas is back, folks.
You guys always pounded on Jeff Bagwell. Jeff,
you guys.
Pound.
Lance loves to pound on Jeff Bagwell.
I'm not pounding on him. I didn't like the fact that he had too much say-so when we had smart analytics people in before. Let the numbers nerds do their thing. Just be a Hall of Famer. Be at games. Yeah. Let everyone remember you. Do you think people remember Bagwell as kindly as they did previously? No, they do not.
Not being the single-season sack leader probably cost Gastineau about $250,000 a year in autograph fees. Probably.
Maybe.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah, he did. Probably financially it did hurt him.
So did Brett Favre screw the state of Mississippi more or Mark Gastineau? Which one did he screw out of more money?
Which one did he cost more money?
Yeah.
Oh, Mississippi. Okay. Probably Mississippi.
Well, Gastineau, since when? When did Strahan break his sack record? It's got to be at least a decade, right?
20 years. Oh, it's going on. Isn't it 20 years? So, yeah, Aaron Rodgers has been in the league for 20 years now.
So when he did that, if it's 250 times, I don't know. I'm sure it's cost Gastineau upwards of 750K maybe.
I don't know. Do you think he'd still be getting that today?
That's what I'm saying. Diminishing returns as far as he wouldn't be getting it every year, but I'm sure Gastineau sees it as cost me a lot of money, man.
Yep.
Because you slid when you could have possibly – or did it on purpose and turned into a sack because you like Michael Strahan for some reason.
Yeah. I don't think he was going to get the record unless Favre did that.
It was one of the final plays of the game.
Yeah, one of the final plays of the game in the final game.
I mean, he's got a point.
Yeah.
He does have
Gastineau's got a point. It's just a bad look. Remember when Alonzo Highsmith knocked him out in a boxing match?
Yeah.
Anytime that you are a former, like Alonzo was an actual pro boxer. He went on to be a boxer also.
You don't want Alonzo to punch you.
But Gastineau, like Jose Canseco, I've noticed that the boxing ring is where if you go to the boxing ring, it's probably you're probably in a bad financial situation. And yeah. A lot of times it's not going to end well for you.
Danny Bonaducci.
Oh, God, he was one of the worst. But it's Nate Robinson went in there, and he's the one who originally got rocked by Jake Paul. Jake Paul knocking out Nate Robinson was a nightmare for Nate Paul.
Le'Veon Bell, he got waylaid.
Yeah.
Who did he fight again?
I forget
who he fought. Or did Le'Veon beat up, not Adrian Peterson. Who was it? Who boxed? Well, did Le'Veon do the beating? I think Le'Veon was the guy that handed it out.
He's the one who won or who lost?
I think so. Le'Veon Bell boxed Adrian Peterson, yeah.
Oh, he
it was
beat
Adrian
Peterson.
Got whacked, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's sad. Well, speaking of a guy who needs money, Adrian Peterson.
Well, I just saw a video of him in a poker game in which he had a really bad beat.
What? Peterson was at a poker game?
Peterson
just got done selling everything he owned.
I know. Well, he lost about $12,000 on his hand.
That's a departure from his normal thing, being at a poker game.
No, that's him.
Oh, by the way, TJ Watt also has a sack record, so it would be TJ Watt's if not Michael Strahan.
What's the record now?
22.5. They both have 22.5 sacks.
Oh, right. So he would have had all these years.
He would have had all those years to be able to sign stuff saying, I'm the sack leader, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess it would have been a pretty good value for him, yeah. I could see why. But his teammates, Marty Lyons is like, yeah, whatever. He's the most selfish player.
Yeah, that speaks volumes, but he still would have the record.
Yeah.
Selfish
oh, how many, yeah, John would be Gastineau. How many sacks do you have, Marty Lyons? Oh, no records. None. Boop, 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 boop.
Look who wants to tackle a running back. Does tackling running backs get you paid? I don't think so. Boop, boop, boop.
How many autographs do you sign, Marty? Zero.
Not, no. I'm the Joe Klecko of this team.
You're not
I
Joe
do all
Klecko.
The dirty work.
No.
I do You're all Gastineau. The dirty work.
You make fun of other people.
You are
oh,
a
look at you.
He's a Gastineau type.
I do, that's all I do. I do all the work inside. Inside. I do it all for the team.
Not
that's
a chance.
Do.
Does it say
do.
Sack record on your resume? No, it's mine.
Okay.
Boop, all right. Boop, 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 boop.
That's Lance. Okay. Boop, boop, boop. Hall of Fame. How many times did he mention what a Hall of Famer he is?
He does like to mention that.
That's a fact.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just a fact. And you I'm like, not making fun of other people.
You like to use it as a reason to get away with stuff, though.
Yeah. Well, John speeds through stuff because he said white privilege. Remember when he doesn't stop at red lights?
That's not white privilege.
What about bum rushing a whole stadium to get into a suite? One ticket equals 12.
This isn't a concert where we bum rushed into the stadium. No, we just actually. Oh, here. Go ahead. Next. Go ahead. Go ahead. Oh, I got their tickets. Don't worry about it. Yeah. That.
I'm sure everybody could do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sure all of our listeners would be able to do
yeah.
that.
I'm yeah. sure I could get yeah. away with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No
I'm
problem.
Sure you could.
Here, come right in.
Yeah.
Come right in. Here's a ticket. This equals 6, right? Come on in, fellas.
I'd have a problem getting in with an actual ticket that's for me. Ah, we got to look at you a little bit. What's going on over here? No, I swear, this is my ticket.
I'll say this: people at the airline. Like, I'm going to take a flight before the end of the year because I got to get just one more flight in for United, and they give you like they do give you the stare down. They look at your ID. Like, they actually still try for the most part. I think I want my security team to continue
to
try.
I want them to
try. Yeah, I want the airline to try. I don't get mad that they want to check things out. I'm not the guy like, what are we doing? Just go. Everyone's safe. You need to be checking everybody's ass. Just, you know. Now, I will admit, for some reason, when I go through clear, oh, sorry, sir, you got randomized as a check. This is like 8 times in a row. Okay? Enough of this crap.
I do love a conscientious security personnel person, but I don't. I told this, I think, I don't know why I got checked twice on the way to Florida and the way back. I got patted down twice.
You got the pat down?
Went through security. They didn't like the cut of my jib, apparently. And
was it a dude?
Yes. They said.
Was he handsy?
He was handsy. They asked me if I wanted to go to the back. I was like, no, I don't want to go to the back.
Oh, champagne room.
I was like, no, just get this over with. And I got patted down twice, and they weren't kind.
Would you
honestly
like to go to the back?
No, I don't want to go to the back. Can we get this done right now? I want to get to my gate. They're like, the pat down.
And on the stage, on number two, guys, is Deli Belly. Don't forget to tip that waitress Adele. Make sure you step into the champagne room where you can get all of your privates checked and out the door with your baggage intact.
They were. I'm lucky my baggage was intact. They were rough. Both ways, to and fro.
Wow.
It's like, hey,
it is a little when they do the slide up the inseam. It's always a little.
Yeah. Hey, watch it down there.
Just kind of tighten it up. Ooh, okay. I dare you the next time to say, "I want her doing it like that, creepy like that too."
I want her to do it. I'm not saying I want a preference on who's patting me down. Hey, can I get the?
Well, no, but they get females for female.
I know, and men for men. Hey, yeah. Can I get John?
Hey, can I get
Tiffany?
Yeah. Hey, John was a little rough. Can I get Dave to do it?
Have you ever gone to have a real? I'm talking about a real massage.
No,
a deep tissue massage.
Never had one.
And would you like a male or female? Female, duh.
Female. My wife got one. We went for our honeymoon, and she went to the spa, and I made the reservation, and they asked, "Would you like a man or a female?" I said, "Female." She wants a female. No, she does not want Sven.
And what about you? Did you get female or male?
I always get female.
Why not? Let her have her Sven.
No, she's not.
You never know.
No, there ain't no Sven.
You don't know.
Sorry. No, I do know. She ain't getting no Sven. She's getting Tiffany or Alice.
I ain't met an Alice in a long time. That's been born since 1965.
Well, that's fine. She can have an old woman. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's it. Ain't gonna be.
What about a 28-year-old guy? What about a 28-year-old guy with a fresh set of hair and powerful hands?
Yeah, no. She ain't getting that. No. And I ain't either. I don't know how those guys make money, if you want to know the truth.
Well, because the women make their own appointments.
Women who make the appointments. Most dudes don't make appointments for their wives.
No, it doesn't usually happen that
Stop being so controlling, John. Let Wendy make her own appointments.
No, I'm making the appointments. Don't worry about it. No, she ain't getting no woman. And then when she goes there, she goes, oh, yeah, no, he was wrong. I want to spend.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. John's shocking. Got things like a Joey Votto masseuse rolling in.
Alice's hands weren't strong enough.
Yeah, John's like, I don't need a Joey Votto type.
No, she don't need no Joey Votto type. Did we miss anything today, Del?
Well, you mentioned Nolan Arenado as a potential Astro. Apparently, Nolan Arenado doesn't have the Astros on his no trade list. He hasn't. He won't waive it for them. So maybe we don't have to worry about it.
Well, that doesn't. I don't think that matters.
Wouldn't it matter? Wouldn't he have to?
Well, if the Cardinals go to him and say, "Hey, will you go?" I don't think the Astros were on Justin Verlander.
Not exactly. If we give Nolan Arenado a brand new 3-year extension, I bet he'll come over for a bunch of money. We've done it before, and we'll do it again.
We'll do it live.
Three more years. We're doing it again. We're running back the Abreu contract.
His agents have talked to the Astros, but at the moment, they aren't on his list.
Right, at the moment. Whatever.
What, do you want him on the list? What are you fighting so hard for,
I don't know why
John?
He is.
Why are you fighting so hard for this declining?
No, I don't want him on the list. I don't want him. No. He had a 719 OPS last year. He's going to be 34 years old. No. Don't want him. Thank you. We did that already.
You should hope he says no to the Astros. No, I don't want to be in Houston. You should hope he continues to think that way. They should stop trying to convince him.
Good. We're not on your list. Good. We don't want you. Good. Oh no, please. We did that already. Haven't we done that already? Sorry. We don't need that in our lives anymore. We did that with Jose Abreu. Nolan Arenado, stay in St. Louis or go somewhere else. That's fine. That's fine by me. You know, that's fine. Sometimes people don't want to come to Houston. There's certain people we don't want in Houston. Nolan Arenado falls right into that category. He was great in Colorado. Great. That's Colorado. You know what? I could have hit in Colorado.
I know.
Lance, I think you could have hit 240 in Colorado.
100% could have hit in Colorado.
Yeah. You could have hit 240 in Colorado.
Yeah, you can't. We don't care about Colorado numbers. Your Colorado numbers don't matter here.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want them. And you know what we didn't spend enough time talking about that the fans are clamoring for? Jimmy Butler to the Rockets.
Yeah, this is what all
the people are clamoring for.
The Rockets learned from Jose Abreu. We don't want Jimmy Butler.
I would not. I don't know that I'd call Jimmy Butler Jose Abreu. I think Arenado's potentially Jose Abreu. But Jimmy Butler just makes you a little bit artificially old. All of a sudden you're like,
Dylan Brooks, how about Joel Embiid? He's not there. How about that?
Joel Embiid.
There shouldn't be a team on the planet that would trade for him.
I mean,
Morey.
A guy who was vying for the MVP last year?
Joel Embiid is basically a dead man walking. He can't play. He's got swelling and no injury.
Yeah.
He said there is no injury. We just can't figure out
the swelling.
He mentioned
being depressed about not having an answer to what's going on.
His Twitter fingers are working overtime. Mm-hmm. He's a big Twitter guy who has swelling that won't ever subside. He already said he wasn't playing back-to-back games before the year started. He's got a history of injury. Man, I would never in my life take a shot with Joel Embiid.
John, you mentioned what we missed.
And he's a loser in big games.
John, you mentioned what we missed. Well, I missed this. We talk about Joel Embiid being depressed. Maybe he'd be uplifted by watching some lights. Enjoy the trail of lights and capture the spirit of the season on a trail of 3 million dazzling holiday lights while listening to your favorite Christmas songs at Dewberry Farms. We're giving away a family four-pack right now.
That's actually really cool.
Caller 573-780-3776 wins a four-pack to the Dewberry Farm Holiday Lights Show.
You've been there, Lance?
Yeah. Well, I haven't been there, but I've seen video footage of it and heard other people talk about it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, from what I could tell online, it's pretty cool. You can get your drinking on, watch the lights. That's a thing. Yep. Dewberry Farms, caller 573-780-3776.
All right. One last thing that we missed, the NCAA estimates of NIL collective funding. Who's number one?
Ohio State?
It's Texas, number one. Ohio State, number two.
Yeah.
$22 million for Texas, $20 for Ohio State. LSU, $20. Georgia, $18. Texas A&M, $17. Michigan, Alabama, Florida, Clemson, Oklahoma. I thought Clemson didn't love NIL. Oklahoma, Penn State, Indiana, Michigan State. I guess now they do. Now that's how they won this year, because they actually went back, said, maybe we're doing this portal
thing. I don't think they added a ton of portal guys, though.
Who?
Clemson?
They never do. They give the NIL to their own guys. Yeah.
They're just paying their own guys. There's a big difference.
Right, right. But they didn't do any NIL before this. He was against NIL.
Well, they didn't
have.
He said,
we better do it.
Yeah. Well, they didn't.
And, by the way,
college football. I mean, if you're Nick Saban, Mac was gone, but Nick Saban quit because he's like, this sucks. Goodbye.
Yeah. One more thing we missed. Caitlin Clark, Time Athlete of the Year.
Oh, and she had some smoke for college athletes. She was like, they're pretty much too dumb to play defense. So it's a different.
Wait. What'd she say?
She was asked about the difference college and WNBA. Well, you got to think about who I'm playing against. These girls didn't run these type of defenses. They didn't understand how to play. They're not. The IQ wasn't high enough to play defense against me. It's a much different ball game in the WNBA. The long and short of it is, she goes, the girls aren't intelligent enough. The defenses aren't intelligent enough to cover me, and that's why the WNBA is different.
She also had some thoughts on not making the Olympic team.
She was fine with it.
So, yeah, right. All right, we got a break. News of the Weird coming your way next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I got to talk about Gulf Coast Windows. I'm looking out the window here, and I can tell you this right here and now, here at this house in California, they don't have Gulf Coast Windows. It's not Gulf Coast Windows. I can tell you that right here and right now. Even like the sliding doors, like your patio doors, your sliding patio door, it's just better. It is just, and that's where a lot of your air conditioning will escape, because the heat is coming in and the sliding door is not good enough to keep that Houston heat out. Well, the sliding door at Gulf Coast Windows is. It's different. It's better. Every single one of their doors and their windows is designed for as the best in class, okay? even just the sliding door, you're going to see a huge difference on the Gulf Coast window sliding door and any other sliding door. You're going to see a huge difference on that front door, on that wood window, on that aluminum window, on that hurricane window, whatever it is. Whatever window that you choose, it's different. It's better. If you're looking for a way to replace your windows, or if you're building a home, one place to go, GulfCoastWindows.com. Get the best window, because you're going to be in this house or whatever you're building forever. Make the best window you possibly can. GulfCoastWindows.com.
Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
You guys see one of the new trends is, you know, women have been getting boob jobs forever now, right? Nipple augmentation, where they fill them, and now so women now have designer nipples. Are you a big fan of designer nipples?
Designer?
Yeah. They're getting surgery to augment nipples now, and then wear see-through or revealing shirts that show off their...
That's a lot.
It seems like a lot.
That's a lot to do.
I mean, it seems like you're trying hard, but okay.
Who's asking for this? You know how they say women dress for women?
Well...
Who's this for?
Well, this is a Kendall Jenner thing, a Florence Pugh.
They all have gotten
Bella Hadid
designer nipple surgery.
Isn't that Florence in the Machine?
No, she's an actress. She's from Midsommar.
Oh, that's her.
Yeah.
Creepiest movie on record.
Yeah. I got to ask. I got to know who's this for. Who does this appeal to?
Quit saying you're dressing for women. If you're getting designer nipples that are see-through and poke out and all that stuff, that's a dude move. Just stop. Just stop. Don't try to tell me, it's for me. It's for women. No, it's not.
You're trying to.
Yeah.
Are you looking for that, Lance?
I'm not trying to.
You want designs there?
No, it's good. We're good. We're good.
It's her nipples, her choice.
Her choice. That's correct. Her body, her choice, yes.
That's right. Russia has sent 100 elite goats to North Korea.
Elite.
Are you worried about North Korea having elite goats?
What do they do?
I mean, they're tasty, I guess, if they're elite.
Like, do they
goats,
just get to eat them?
I don't know. They're elite goats for some reason. Goat milk? I don't know. It had the first batch of live animals exported to the country. I don't know why they're elite, and I don't really care if North Korea has them, if you want to know the truth. Apparently, Syrian rebels are learning to fly helicopters by watching YouTube.
Yeah, that's not a surprise.
I learned how to change my brakes on a specific car with YouTube.
Did you change your own brakes?
Yes.
You changed your brakes?
Brake
pads,
yeah.
Out of your mind?
I've done it several times, and I didn't die, obviously, either time. Yeah, I learned it on YouTube. How do you change the brakes when I had this car? A Scion TC. The coupe version of Scion. Went in and they was right there, and I went in and did it.
You got to put, do you have to, how do you move?
You have a jack. I got a jack.
You got a jack. You had to do a jack for every single side?
Well, I didn't do
front
and back.
Brakes.
I've done front and back, but I didn't do it at the same time.
But you had to do two separate ones. You had to do a jack on one side and a jack on the other side?
Sure.
You got bricks in your front yard?
No, I didn't do it that way. I didn't know. You just have to use the jack for one side and then go on to the other side and do it.
Wow, I'm not doing all that.
Well, clearly not.
Not only that, my brakes. When they would go out, they'd be like, "Oh, dumbass did his own brakes."
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it was past the warranty, and that's why I did it.
I ain't doing that. 11 Russian regions are paying female students for early motherhood. Should we pay our high school students to get pregnant here?
No. They're doing just fine.
I think we're doing it anyway.
They're doing just fine. MTV's still around because of teen pregnancy.
Incentivize high school pregnancy?
There's no reason.
Well, they are in Russia.
Yeah. There's no reason
Well,
for,
you know.
Certain countries
Zoomers,
are probably like, well, let's give it a shot.
You know, Zoomers and millennials ain't having as many kids because, you know, the world is going to whatever. I don't think starting in high school is the way to go, though.
Well, they're down to high school now because nobody's having kids anymore. Japan, they're paying people. To China, they're paying people. We got to start paying our high schoolers.
Stop it, John. No.
All right.
We're not giving them new high school NIL.
You want to give the Klein kids money?
Right.
No.
No.
All right, we're done. And Dallas next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hope you enjoyed the show. We will talk to you again tomorrow. Lance, tell him about Republic.
Well, he just did it. Lance did it. He didn't want to wait to the end, so he did it already. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.